Well, thank you, Lynn, and good morning, everyone. Welcome. Thank you for being here. An important part of Awakening Together is our weekly gathering, and this is a special time every Sunday morning that's reserved for the assembly of our members and friends. We join together online in the Pal Talk Room for a musical celebration, interactive fellowship, teaching, and silent contemplation. Friday was Valentine's Day, and coincidentally with the full moon. While most of society emphasizes Valentine's Day as a celebration of romantic love, I like to think of Valentine's Day as an opportunity to share warmth and affection and positive, loving thoughts for each of us and for the love of God. May we find the beauty of universal love on this day and every day throughout the year. Let's meditate on a vision of peace in the world, guided by the divine. Well, let's take a few minutes now and greet each other as we join together in our online sanctuary for our weekly assembly. And as we meet and greet each other in the room, we use the Pal Talk message board to type in our greetings and salutations and perhaps comments about the love that we're feeling today. Well, good morning, everyone. At this time, we always give a brief explanation of the purpose of Awakening Together. I believe Barb DeWater is our administrator today, and so Barb may post a link to our website where you can access our purpose and values. Awakening Together is an online, universal assembly of peers. We're dedicated to recognizing and embracing universal wisdom. We strive to free ourselves from personal beliefs and biases, and we're open to the continuous flow of universal wisdom. And you may read more about the purpose and values on our website. And for those who are listening in on the radio, that website is www.awakening-together.org. and then look under About Us and Purpose and Values. We have five basic core values, and we use that kind of as our creed. So I'll give you an abbreviated form of each of these core values, but you may read the complete statement of our on our website. Very briefly, the core values are: one, we trust a unique inner guidance leading us to awaken to our one true self. And two, we realize that we are all equal, with no one having authority over the spiritual intuition of others. And three, we accept one changeless, non-dual presence or being as our true self. And four, we affirm one true self as the only truth, without idolizing any spiritual doctrine. And five, we accept all forms as temporary appearances while we reflect on changeless truth. So you can go ahead and check out the full description on the website that Barb D. posted. As we get started here, I have a couple of announcements, a couple of retreats that are coming up. The first retreat is a week-long getaway with Regina in Costa Rica from March 8th to the 17th. And this retreat will be held in a lovely casa in the beautiful Costa Rican jungle near the sea. The retreat is limited to 8 people, but there are a couple of slots left, so you may want to get on the website. I think Barb D. could post the information on the website under the events. You'll get to know each other, discover the best way to spend the week based on the individual needs, and then go on from there. And there will be discussions and time alone and a time for anyone who wants to enjoy one-on-one coaching with Regina. You'll also take some time to simply relax and play together. And this retreat is coming up in just a few weeks, so if it sounds right for you, please register at the on the website at the link that Barb posted. The second retreat is a 3-day gathering in St. Louis. Actually, there will be 2 3-day gatherings to choose from. And the first begins the evening of April 4th and runs through April 6th. The second begins the morning of April 8th and runs through April 11th. Both gatherings will be held in a private home with potluck meals, but no overnight accommodations. Each gathering is limited to 14 participants, and so just go to the Awakening Together events to learn more about the St. Louis gatherings. Now it's time for our opening song. And this is a time when we just forget the cares of the day and be here now. And now is the time in our morning gathering schedule for our invocation. Marianne Williamson will lead us in our opening prayer today. And following her prayer, she will read a passage from A Course in Miracles.
Together we all take a very deep breath. We see in the middle of our mind a little ball of golden light. We watch this light as it begins to grow larger and larger until now it covers the entire inner vision of our mind. We see for ourselves within this light a beautiful temple. We see a garden that surrounds the temple and a body of water that flows through the garden. We see that the inside of the temple is lit by the same beautiful golden light. And we are here, for we have been drawn together by the power and in the presence of God. We dedicate our time spent together, as well as our relationships to each other, to Him. We ask that His Holy Spirit, who is within us, so guide our thoughts, our feelings, and our perceptions, that we might grow to become happier, more peaceful, more loving human beings. Thank you very much. We all say, Amen.
Amen.
There's a line in page 315 of the text of the Course in Miracles which says, "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes, and the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you perceive hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality. Recognize this, for it is true, and truth must be recognized if it is to be distinguished from illusion. The special love relationship is an attempt to bring love into fear and make it real in fear. In fundamental violation of love's condition, the special love relationship would accomplish the impossible. How but in illusion could this be done? It is essential that we look very closely at exactly what it is you think you can do to solve the dilemma which seems very real to you but which does not exist. You have come close to truth, and only this stands between you and the bridge that leads you into it. Heaven waits silently, and your creations are holding out their hands to help you cross and welcome them. For it is they you seek. You seek but for your own completion, and it is they who render you complete. The special love relationship is but a shabby substitute for what makes you whole in truth, not in illusion. Your relationship with them is without guilt, and this enables you to look on all your brothers with gratitude because your creations were created in union with them. Acceptance of your creations is the oneness of creation without which you could never be complete. No specialness can offer you what God has given and what you are joined with Him in giving. Across the bridge is your completion, for you will be holy in God, willing for nothing special, but only to be wholly like to Him, completing Him by your completion. Fear not to cross to the abode of peace and perfect holiness. Only there is the completion of God and of His Son established forever. Seek not for this in the bleak world of illusion, where nothing is certain and where everything fails to satisfy. In the name of God, be wholly willing to abandon all illusions. In any relationship in which you are wholly willing to accept completion and only this, there is God completed and His Son with Him." Unquote.
That was Marianne Williamson quoting from A Course in Miracles. You know, I used to have trouble explaining to people when they asked me what A Course in Miracles is. And I really like the description that Marianne has for A Course in Miracles. She says, "A Course in Miracles is a self-study program of spiritual psychotherapy. A Course in Miracles is not a religion, but a psychological training in relinquishment of a thought system based on fear and the acceptance instead of a thought system based on love. Another excellent description of A Course in Miracles is found in Brent Haskell's books in The Other Voice, which is a book that Brent Haskell wrote many years ago. And his beautiful description of the Course is in the introduction. So our reader today is Judy Frisk, and she will read the introduction in The Other Voice by Brent Haskell.
This is one of my very favorite readings by Brent Haskell, The Other Voice, and it's a companion to the text of the Course. Greetings. I am Jesua. I have come to discuss with you A Course in Miracles. But more importantly, I have come that you might become free in the knowledge of what you are. Important is this. Hear me well. There is no difference in reality and essence between you and me. I am absolutely free, as you are. I have the ability to do what your world calls miracles. And that same ability is possessed by you, although blocked by your fear. I have no talent that does not lie within you, albeit perhaps hidden at this time. I am free of space and time. I am free to go and to come anywhere I choose, within any aspect of space and any aspect of time, and indeed so are you, even though that ability lies hidden beneath the mask of your fear. There is that about you and about me which makes us the Son of God, and that truly cannot change. We are free. And that freedom includes our ability to imagine, to perceive whatever we choose. This entire world is an example of just that. But none of us, not you nor me, can change that which is real, that which was created and given us by God. There are many things which shall become clear as we move through this text and these pages. Among them are the things which are not real, and which, because they are not real, do not exist. Among those things are sin and guilt. For there is no cause for sin, and without sin there is no cause for guilt. They are of the imagination, nothing more. Another thing which does not exist is your body. By that I simply mean this. Your body is not what you are. That is all. You are spirit. You are free. You are created by God, and nothing can change that. Your imaginings that you are a body, or that you are in time confined within a body, which shall somehow age and decay and die, those imaginings, as real as they may seem, do not in any sense change what you are. And thus it is that the body is not real. 'Tis a suit you have donned. 'Tis a plaything you have chosen. Its purpose is for learning, for experience, and its ultimate goal is to be set aside without a second thought when the learning is done. For it is not you, and has no effect on the reality of what you are. My resurrection was the expression in this world of that truth. What I am as the Son of God was not affected by nails, by a cross, or by death. Likewise, what you are as the Son of God is not affected by the illusion of your body, and whatever it may be that seems to happen to it, including its death. I come not to bring you fear, but to bring you peace. I come not asking that you give up something which is cherished, which you value. I come merely to show you a better way. I do not come asking you to struggle. I do not come asking you to fight within yourself. For the true expression of your freedom follows without effort. I come merely to show you what you are. And as you come to realize that you experience beyond your thoughts, beyond your fears, what you truly are, Then that which you value now shall simply pass away, to be replaced by something richer and fuller and more beautiful than you can imagine. For when you trade one toy, if you will, for another which is far more beautiful and more delightful than the old one, it does not represent a loss at all, merely a transition. And so I have come with the greatest of love to assist you and to guide you toward that transition which you can make from one world to another. What you shall move from is your current perception of this world, which may include the belief that your body is real, that it can do things over which you have no control, which may include the belief that such things as sin and guilt and illness and misery and death actually exist. What you shall move to is the true perception of this same world, in which you realize that you are, in fact, like me, the Son of God, in which you realize that you are absolutely free and that nothing in your life can happen to you without that it be your choice. I come to guide you to that awareness. And as you reach that awareness, as you move beyond the beliefs which bind you to this world, it shall not be a loss at all. It shall be a growth unto a new freedom in which you shall lift your wings and rise above all that was, to a new life and a joy which had not previously been imagined. I come as your friend. I come to tell you that you are absolutely loved. I come to tell you that there is nothing you can do which can possibly change how much you are loved. That there is nothing you can do which in reality can separate you from God and thus from each other. I come to tell you that you are free. I come to tell you that you are one with me, one with all of your brothers. I come to bring you peace and joy, for that is your right and your inheritance as the Son of God. Blessings upon you all. That is all.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you for reading from The Other Voice, which is a companion to the text of the Course. And that was Jesus speaking to us through Brent Haskell. My talk today is about how Jesus speaks to us. I'd like to explore with you the present-day contact and communication that we have with Jesus, or Yeshua ben Joseph. Many people have felt his presence and many have scribed messages from him, like the one that Judy just read to us. Brent Haskell let the voice of Yeshua ben Joseph speak through him and into a tape recorder, which was then translated into the books that he wrote. When I saw Brent Haskell in Canyon City, Colorado last year, we talked about his books. And Brent said to me, I was told decades ago by a gentleman from Boston named Billy Gear that the books were given in what is called iambic cadence, and that's a poetic meter based on 2 or 3 feet, which is like the clip-clop of a horse. We know that A Course in Miracles was written mostly in iambic pentameter, and that's a poetic meter based on 5 feet. Billy Gear said that voice choirs used this cadence centuries ago in order to stay together during their readings. Words are given or read in groups of 2 or 3, which lends a natural cadence to the process. As an example, each chapter begins with these words, which I will separate into 2s and 3s. Read it for yourself and see if you feel the poetic cadence. It goes, greetings again. I am Yeshua. I have come this day to further with you my discussion of A Course in Miracles. The books themselves are printed in a poetic form, with a group of words on each line of the text. I love reading them. Many people receive messages from the spirit world. Many channel these entities and scribe their messages, like Jane Roberts channeled Seth, Esther Hicks channels Abraham. God converses with Neil Donald Walsh. And Gary Renard was visited by Artin and Persa. Now I'm going to do something a little different today. I'm going to share a couple of minutes of Jesus' words through these various channels of Jeshua ben Joseph. Listen to the voice of Jeshua as it came through Brent Haskell, and these words are actually spoken by Kelly Love.
Greetings. I am Yeshua. I have come to discuss with you A Course in Miracles. But more importantly, I have come that you might become free in the knowledge of what you are. I am Yeshua, though names as such do not matter. But indeed, I am Yeshua. I am the one you call Jesus. But hear me well. I am you. I am each one of you, which means I am your brother. I am like you, the Son of God, and nothing more. I will speak with you of many things. I will speak of things which are real, and I will speak of many things, including this world of space and time, which indeed are not real. And of those things which are not real, they are but the blocks you have created to keep you from knowing the reality of what you are. This whole world you see is not real. Many times you have listened to words which speak of this life, of your body, of this world as being illusion. That is exactly so in this. An illusion is something which you perceive, and therefore which your mind thinks is real, while in reality you are but exercising the creative power given you by God in order to seem to see that which is not there at all. It is because you harbor within your being the creative power of the universe that you are able to see, to perceive your world exactly as you desire it to be. And because it is perception, what seems to be reality can change in the twinkling of an eye. That which is real, that which is of God, does not change. It is not subject to your perception and your beliefs. It is not subject to your space and your time, for it is far beyond any and all of those. I speak to you as your brother, for that is what I am. In reality, in essence, I am no different from you in any way. I am the Son of God, just as you are the Son of God, just as every friend and every enemy that you perceive is likewise the Son of God.
And that was from Brent Haskell's book, The Other Voice, as spoken with by Kelly Love. You know, another teacher that I talked to last year in Canyon City was John Mark Hammer, or JM. He was another channel for the voice of Jeshua, and he produced a series called The Way of Mastery. And like Brent, John spoke into a recorder that made tapes that were transcribed into written text. I have copies of the original tapes that John made. John always spent a few moments in silence, and then the voice of Jeshua would come through JM's voice, lips. And he always began with the words, "Now we begin."
Now, we begin. And indeed, once again, greetings unto you, beloved and holy friends. I come forth in this hour, yet again, to abide with you where you believe yourself to be. For in truth, if it were not for the fact that you are choosing to turn your attention to the world of physicality through the vehicle of the body, our communication would not require the device of what you might call channeling, nor the devices of the technologies of this world, in which to record and capture spoken words that are themselves but the reflection of what the words would point your mind toward. Therefore, beloved friends, I come not for myself, but for you. I come not to teach you, but to love you, until you choose from the depth within your own being to set aside every illusion you have ever given credence to, and to remember the truth which alone is true. For indeed in that hour there is a transcendence of all that knows limitation. There is a transcendence of all that knows coming and going, birth and death. There is but the mind of Christ, within which each of us, as a spark of divine light, as a sunbeam to the sun, rests eternally in perfect communion and communication always. Now, of course, the great secret is that that is the state of your reality, that in each and every moment you abide in perfect communion with the whole of creation, since all things are but temporary modifications of the one fundamental energy which I have chosen to call the Christ mind, the offspring of the Father.
And that was John Mark Hammer, or JM, as Jesus spoke through him. Jeshua ben Joseph, or Jesus, has spoken to us through other scribes besides Helen Schuckman and Brent Haskell and JM. Pamela Cribby and John Smallman are two other channels for Jeshua ben Joseph. Pamela Cribby was born in 1968 in a small village in the Netherlands. In 1997, when she was 29 years old, she graduated with a doctorate in philosophy. She met her husband, Garrett, and they were married in 2002, and their daughter, Laura, was born. She was used to making contact with spiritual guides, and one night, she felt a presence whose energy was different from what she had been used to. She was with her husband, Garrett, when she got into a trance state and connected to this energy. She saw the name Jeshua ben Joseph in front of her inner eye, and she immediately felt that it was true. He presented himself as Jeshua ben Joseph, and not Jesus, which showed her that he wanted to make clear from the start that he was not the personality manufactured by the Bible or by tradition. Pamela says, Jeshua offered me guidance in my book in my work as a therapist, not only by giving me information in words and phrases, but by actually conveying his energy to me, making me understand what it was like to see things through his eyes, or perhaps better put, through the eyes of the Christ energy, which, by the way, is in all of us. Here, Pamela speaks to us, actually through her husband's voice, Garrett, the words of Jeshua in the summer of 2006.
It's about you. I am Jeshua. I am filled with joy as I come near to you today and share my energy. Yes, I share my energy with you. But you are sharing yours as well. Your light shines upon the world, even though you do not always realize this. You are making a difference on Earth, here and now. In this age in which so much is changing, consciousness is evolving on Earth, and it stirs the dark to come out of its hiding place. It brings to the surface for all to see much that is old and rotten. This is why this age appears so contradictory in its manifestations. Consciousness grows, but it may become darker before the light gains a foothold and truly shines in your world. You are the ones that drive the old to the surface. You force it into openness by your consciousness, by your light. This is what you feel called to do. This is who you are. You are light workers. You are souls with a deeply sensed mission. You are moved by a calling that gripped me as well during my life on Earth. Many of you were followers of me back then, or, better put, followers of the teaching and energy that I disseminated. I am your heart. I am your soul. I am not just that one human being who once lived on Earth and who is now returning to you. I come here before you as the expression of the Christ energy, your oversoul, the energy that binds you, that is your source and origin. It is a field of energy that is now moving closer and closer to Earth, touching the hearts of many people and affecting their emotions. This wave of light brings much confusion to people who are not ready for change. They feel insecure. They experience a lack of meaning in their lives, and they do not know how to deal with these confused emotions. And you are the ones on Earth who are here to radiate light to these people.
John Smallman is another channel. He gives his story on his website, which is Jesus Through John. And John says, I've been taking dictation from my friend Saul since 1995. A few months ago, I began to feel intuitively that Jesus wanted to channel through me, but I was skeptical. Many people have channeled him. Why would he want another channel? Anyhow, I sat down with my pen and I asked him, if you want me to listen and take dictation, then I am willing. I am greatly honored. So speak to me, and I will write. If my intuition was wrong, then please forgive my call. With love, John. And then Jesus replied, of course I want to talk to you, John. I want to talk to anyone who will listen to me. I want all my brothers and sisters. You are all the ones that I love dearly, and it is my joyful task to help you to awaken. Listen carefully, take your time, we have plenty, and write what you hear. You will find it easy. Your loving brother, Jesus. So here's the voice of Jesus through John.
Hello. This is John with Jesus' message for Saturday, December 7th, 2013. Today he is talking about happy dream. Very many of you have been extremely dissatisfied with your earthly lives. Life is eternal. You are alive, and therefore you too are eternal beings. There truly is no death. Yes, of course you lay down your illusory bodies as you leave the dream environment and return home from your travels, but that is a glorious awakening into the brilliance of reality. Your forthcoming human awakening or ascension is different, because it will be a mass awakening in which you retain your bodies, which are then restored to full vitality and perfection, with an age or physical appearance and abilities appropriate to it that suits your wishes. In A Course in Miracles, I talked of moving from the nightmare into a happy dream, and that is what is about to occur. Very many of you have been extremely dissatisfied with your earthly lives, and to move into a happy dream is the next stage on your journey back to reality. You cannot move fully into reality while holding on to any energies, attitudes, or beliefs that are not in complete alignment with our Source, God, our Heavenly Father, Love. A happy dream is a state where all that you could desire is there for you. All your needs and wants are met without in the least inconveniencing or shortchanging anyone else. It is an environment in which you can learn to relax, release your fears and anxieties, and realize that you have no need of those negative aspects of yourselves.
So, as you all know, Regina Don Acres scribed the book The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. Regina began to write with the Holy Spirit in November of 2004. The Holy Spirit told her, "Teacher of God, this is what I need you for. You can write for me. You are doing it now. Write, Teacher of God, and help me share the light. There are many who need us, Teacher. Teacher, teach. That is what I need you for. That is why you are here. That is how you will learn." And then in June of 2005, she began writing a dictation of words that she heard in her mind. And of course, the book, The Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament, was produced. It's also called NTI for short. And it goes from Matthew to Revelation. And she finished it 13 and a half months later. It's been said that the book of Galatians in NTI is in the voice of Jesus. Here's an excerpt spoken by Regina.
So starting with Galatians Chapter 1. Greetings, my fellow brothers. I come to you on this day to teach you the joy of who you are, and to teach you the glory and the truth that is forever and forever true. Amen. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I come to you on this day to clear up your confusion, for there have been many thoughts that have confused you unto now. Do not fret over your confusion. It is nothing, and can easily be laid aside when you see the simplicity of love as I offer it to you. I am here to please you, because the words I have come to share will please you as you hear them and accept them from my lips. This is the truth that you have resisted until now, but you are no longer willing to resist. This is why the message that I bear will please you. It is your message, and you are asking to hear it and know it now. This story that I have to tell is coming to you directly from me, in my own words and from my own lips. You have no reason to doubt what I will share, although you will be tempted to. I tell you, when you are tempted to doubt the message that I share, look in your heart. It is written there. As you see that my message is also your message, you will realize that we are one. You will doubt no more. There is a belief within your mind that hates you and judges you and holds you back from me. I know well of this belief, for I experienced it once myself. But I have been made free by my own choice to release the belief that isn't true. Now, I come to you as your brother and your guide to help you do the same. So that is the introduction to Galatians. And one thing that is very, very interesting about this particular book, some of you, if you've been working with me as I've been going through the New Testament with the Holy Spirit, you know that the voice or the seeming teacher, although it's always the Holy Spirit, the seeming voice within the Holy Spirit changes. This is the first time that the Holy Spirit has presented itself as a voice that clearly once perceived itself to be a human. This voice is seeming to say that I have been where you are, and now I have released this belief, and I've come to teach you how to do the same. So it's the first time the voice has ever come in a very personal way like that. Another thing that we'll see that's different about this voice is this voice uses a lot of parables in Galatians. There are a lot of stories in which we need to really listen to the story to understand the message. So it's very interesting.
So in each of these messages, I hear the same gentle, calm voice of Jeshua ben Joseph coming through. Although in the illusion, we know it's always our own voice, the voice of our Holy Spirit coming through to each of us. And this reminds me of our fifth core value, which is we accept as temporary appearances, permitted through enduring awareness of self. And we live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting on changeless truth. Each of us has the ability to experience the temporary appearances of form in the illusion of the dream. When the changeless truth comes through the appearance, we reflect on it, we honor it, we contemplate it. We listen for the voice of the Holy Spirit in whatever form it may take. And with discernment, we act on the message that we hear. Well, now it's time for our open meditation and contemplation. You can, as I play some background music, you can reflect on how you continually listen for the voice of truth. This is also the time that we invite you to give a donation, if you so choose. And Barb D. will now post a link where you may, if you like, make a donation to Awakening Together. And we know that all giving comes directly from the hearts of our members and friends. We are truly grateful for all of the gifts and offerings. Your support helps us to continue the work of sharing the light of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you. Okay, so now we have about 15 minutes for sharing. This is a time where we invite the members and friends to take the mic themselves and share your thoughts based on today's teaching. So just raise your hand and I will pass the mic over to you. Okay, thank you, Gina.
Yeah, I just think it's interesting that you chose this topic today, Phil, just for a couple of reasons. One, yesterday I started the book Resurrecting Jesus by Ayashanti. So I'm reading Ayashanti's interpretation of the life of Jesus. And then also tonight we have Nook Sanchez coming here. And Nook has been listening to Jesus within her own mind, and I'm sure she'll share some of that with us. But and then I also talked to Cheryl Valentine on the phone a couple of days ago. And although Jesus hasn't been a real important central figure for her, most of her spiritual path lately, Nisargadatta and especially Jesus, I think, have become very important symbols to her, and Jesus is guiding her. So, you know, it's all kind of interesting to me just on a personal basis, because right now I just seem to be a little bit surrounded by people who are being very inspired and very guided by Jesus on a personal level. One thing that's interesting about Ayashanti's book is, of course, Ayashanti says that we get off track whenever we try and figure out the historical truth about Jesus. In fact, someone came up to me Tuesday night and said, you know, that someone had told her that Jesus, you know, got up, I think she said around 4 every morning and meditated for 3 hours every day. And, of course, you know, there are stories about, you know, Jesus having been in India. I think there are, you know, there are many, many stories about Jesus's life. There are stories about whether he was or wasn't married to Mary Magdalene, even stories about whether they did or he did not have a child. I mean, just, you know, we could go on all day about the Jesus stories and the different things that people believe about Jesus. But Ayashanti says, you know, whenever we start trying to figure out what was historically true about Jesus, we miss the point. And I think you can even kind of feel that if you start looking at it. You can kind of feel how the attention and the energy drifts into your head, you know, when you're trying to figure out the historical truth of the story. And you might even feel like if you're a person who believes Jesus was married to Mary Magdalene, you might even feel a little bit of defensiveness or argumentativeness come up when somebody else tries to say, what are you talking about? Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, you know, and they go with that old story. You know, you may feel some conflict happening there. So Ayashanti says, you know, that's not what's important at all, those stories, and what's true and what's not true is what's important. And in fact, he even recommends looking at the whole story as if it's a myth. And I don't think that he's saying that it is a myth. That's not my interpretation of what he's saying. I think he's saying that if you just let go of what was true historically and what was not true historically, you might get more out of the story yourself. And he recommends reading the story of Jesus in the Bible. He's talking about the Bible. And he says he recommends reading it, and he says, I'm reading from his book now. He says, so I think we need to look at the story anew. When we begin to interpret the Jesus story mythologically, we begin to look for its metaphors and symbols. We begin to ask, what do the metaphors mean for me? What does Jesus stand for in me? If we don't view Jesus merely as a historical figure who was born, lived, walked on earth, taught, brought forth his message, and then died on the cross, and if instead we look at Jesus also as a timeless living presence, as a metaphor for the eternity within us, we can begin to step into that place inside where we become the sons and daughters of God. You know, and he continues, but I think, you know, I think the point is also there's a place in NTI, I think it's NTI Hebrews, where it says something like Jesus speaks best with no words at all. So I think the main point is that, you know, whether we seem to be identifying with Jesus right now, you know, like Cheryl Valentine used to not to, and now she is, or whether we don't identify with Jesus at all, whether we believe in Jesus or whether we don't believe in Jesus, actually doesn't matter. What matters is that there is this one voice, this one clarity, this one wisdom that we all have the same access to. And what matters is following our inspiration and getting in touch with that, whether we seem to hear words in a channeling sort of way, like the people you've just shared, or whether it's just this guiding, knowing intuition that seems very, very clear for us. What really matters is that each one of us get in touch with it within ourselves. And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you very much, Phil.
Wow. Thank you, Regina. Beautiful sharing. And I agree with you totally that the Jesus that we hear is in our own mind. So does anyone else have any thoughts that they would like to share? Just raise your hand and I'll pass the mic over to you. Okay, Barb D., let me release the mic to you.
Just something short I wanted to say when I was listening to all the different speakers. It was just, you know, it reminds me of the loving presence within, the common message, and the commonness of the messages and the love behind the message is what really touches my heart when I hear all the different speakers and the different seeming materials that have been channeled. So that is really all I wanted to say, but it's just a very loving presence and supportive presence. Thank you.
Thank you, Barb. Okay, we have time for another sharing if anyone else would like to take the mic and share any of their thoughts. Just raise your hand and we'll pass you the mic. Okay, Glenn, take the mic.
Thank you, Phil, and thank you, everyone. Yeah, I found it really interesting, and I used to be so opposed when I would read and hear that different people were hearing the voice of Jesus, the voice of Saint Germain, the voice of Mary Magdalene. You know, people were saying they were hearing all kinds of voices, and I would say, well, you know, there's only one voice that you would be hearing if it was not the voice of the ego, and that would be the voice of the Holy Spirit. So if that's the case, then why would you be saying, you know, why would it be identifying itself to you as this person or that person? And then I realized, like, it came very, very clearly to me that it talks to you in however way you're ready and able to listen. So if I'm only ready and able to listen to Jesus, then it's going to say, this is Jesus. Hey, Lynn, this is Jesus. Or if I can only listen to the Holy Spirit, it's going to say, this is the Holy Spirit. I'm talking to you. Or this is Mary Magdalene. Or this is your imaginary friend from when you were a child. Remember me, and here I am talking to you now. Doesn't matter who they call it, because Jesus is an illusion, just like I'm an illusion. Like the ego that is who I think I am is illusory, and everyone else who we think we are is an illusion. and who I think is talking to me, I'm still thinking is an illusory character. I'm still seeing and imagining that it is an illusory character, but that if that's the only way the voice for God can reach into my mind and that I'm willing to listen to it, then that's the way it is. And I know that as I become more and more willing and ready to hear only one voice, then it will not matter who the voice is. It could be Phil. It could be Regina. It could be Sonia. Hello, Sonia. It could be Jacqueline. It could be my husband. It could be my granddaughter. It could be anybody who's speaking to me, and all I will hear is the voice for God, because that really is what it is, the willingness to hear only one voice. So thank you for letting me share.
Well, thank you, Lynn. Thank you for sharing. And the messages coming through are so loud and clear that there is one voice, and it is our own voice. Each of us has our own voice that we listen to, and sometimes it could be the voice of the ego or the still, small, quiet voice that we really want to listen to and hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to thank each of you today for being here. I'd like to thank our reading assistant, Judy Frisk, and our administrator, Barb DeWater. And then it's time now for our closing song. And so I will play music for the interlude to transition to the next part of our program. Okay, thank you again for your attendance today. We appreciate each and every one of you being here. So if you can, stay online. We have an hour of fellowship coming up right here, right now, in this room. And I believe Lynn will be hosting that hour of fellowship. And it's a time when you can share more of your thoughts and just stay in the mood for the rest of the morning. So I will release the mic now to you, Lynn. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Phil, and everyone. Let me stop these recorders and...